Thank you, ladies. I really appreciate the good song tonight. It's a blessing. You have your Bible open to Romans chapter number 1. And I want to share some things with you as we prepare our hearts further for our missions revival. I'm looking forward with great anticipation to our missions revival this next week coming. As has already been stated, the missionary families will get here Saturday. We'll have an orientation here at the church and a meal for them. And then Sunday morning in Sunday school, you be in your place and come prepared and pray and asking the Lord to speak to your heart and to do a work in your life. In Sunday school, we have different missionaries throughout that will be teaching different classes. All the adult classes will be meeting in here. We'll have a missionary teach this class, and then right on down through other classes, we'll have missionaries teaching down through the junior age. And then, of course, Dr. Mike Edwards will be preaching that Sunday morning, and then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday evening. How many of you never heard Brother Mike Edwards preach? Raise your hand. Okay, we've got several people never heard. Never heard. Wow. You're in for a treat. Hey, man. You're in for a treat. Now, he preached our missions conference. It's been several years. I lose track of time. 8, 10 years ago, maybe. Dr. Edwards was here, and he preached our missions conference, done a great job. God uses him, and he's just a good, godly man and a great preacher, and we appreciate his ministry, and you're going to appreciate the challenge that is brought to you from the Word of God, from this good man of God. And so you pray much for the meeting. Pray for Brother Edwards, and pray also for the missionary families that will be coming in, and then pray about what God would have you to do, as we all pray about what God would have us to do about this matter of getting the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, around the world. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Paul had a yearning in his heart to go to Rome. Paul was a great soul winner, wasn't he? Amen. You know, you can't read through the gospel accounts, the New Testament, and not see that Paul was a great soul winner. He was a man who loved God. He had a passion. He had his priorities in line. He said in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, you know, I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now that's a statement. That's a statement. He loved people. He loved souls. He loved God. And he wanted to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He went to every major hub in the area. He went to the religious hub of the world. He went to the intellectual hub. And when he went to Athens, he went to the legal hub. When he went here to Rome, he went to the major hubs of the world and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ in his day. What a man of faith and what a man of passion. And I want to talk to you about that out of these scriptures this evening. When you read down through Romans chapter number 1, in particular, there's three statements here in verse 14, 15, and 16 that grab our attention. And it's the I ams, okay? Paul he realized what he was, okay? Now, this is a man who said, I am what I am, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, by the grace of God. And here as he's writing, as I said, he had a yearning, he had a desire, a deep desire in his heart to go to Rome. And he tells us why. Paul wasn't going to Rome to see the history. He was going for eternity, eternity's sake. Paul wasn't going as a sightseer. He was going as a soul winner. Paul had his priorities straight. Paul wasn't going on vacation. He was going for the kingdom of God. And when you look in verse number 13, he makes it very clear of why he's going to visit these folks and why he's going to visit this area. Look at verse number 13. He said, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let, or hindered is the word, but was let or hindered hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. He said, I want to win some of you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, he just put it right out there. This is my purpose. This is why I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you with one purpose in mind. I want to win some of you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want you to know what I have experienced. I want to talk to you about that. What have you experienced? Now think about this. When it comes to this matter of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, there are so many people that are mixed up about this. And you know, it just shows the craftiness of the devil. Being saved, listen, it's the simplicity of the gospel. And the God of this world has just removed men's mind and clouded and darkened men's mind from the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are men around our world now, when I say men, I mean mankind, men, women, boys, girls, who think that they have to have so much religion, or they have to do so many works or debts that they owe to God, or penance, and they think they have to go through all of these religious formalities in order to have a relationship with God, when God made it very clear that no man can approach Him outside of the shed blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has shed His blood, and He is the mediator between God and men. He's the only way. There's one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He's the only way. And so Paul, writing these folks in Rome, he said, listen, he said, I long to come to you, and I'm coming. And I'm coming for the purposes. I'm going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Now, why was Paul motivated this way? When you read Paul's writings, if you count the book of Hebrews, and I do, as a writing of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, 14 letters that he wrote, all right, to Christian folks, to churches, and of course the Jewish people there that were scattered in the book of Hebrews. He wrote to these folks, and he bore his soul, he bore his heart, and he talked with them about the importance of them furthering their relationship as they grew in their newfound faith. Paul said, I want to see you grow. I want to see you find God's purpose for your life. It's one thing to be pardoned, but he said, I want you to know God's purpose for your life. And this is what drove Paul. I want to ask you a question. What motivates you? What are you 100% about? See, everybody in here is 100% about something. What are you 100%? What are you all in for? What really gets you riled up? Really? What gets you going? Old country boy said, what cranks your motor? Amen? What gets you going? What'll get you all in? What'll get you riled up? What'll get you fired up? What motivates us? What are you passionate about? Oh, preacher, I ain't passionate about anything. Don't lie to yourself now. You might not be passionate about God and the things of God. Maybe you are. Many of you are. Many that are watching by live stream, passionate about the things of God. What are we passionate about, brethren? Paul was a passionate man. We're still talking about this man hundreds of years later, thousands of years later. We're still talking about this man. Why? A mortal man. A mortal man. Listen, Paul was a man of like passion as you and I. We're still talking about this man. You know why? Because something drove him. Something drove him. He had purpose. He had aim. He had vision. He had passion about what he did. He didn't just say, well, you know, this thing about soul winning, I can take it or leave it. It's this church stuff, I could go with it or go without it. That wasn't Paul's mindset. Paul was driven. That's what we need today. We need some men and women, some boys and girls to be driven, to be fired up. Amen. Amen. Passionate. I'm not talking about turning cartwheels, but if it takes, listen, if that's what it takes to get you passionate, turn a cartwheel. Amen. What was Paul fired up about? Well, let's look at what he said. There's three I am statements. Look at verse 14. He said, I am debtor. See, Paul realized some things. I fear that there's a lot of folks in Christianity today that do not realize this is you. This is me. Paul said, I'm a debtor. See, there's a lot of people that they think they're on the other end of that. They're still looking to get instead of to give. They're still looking, well, I, so the the world and everyone else is indebted to me. God's indebted to me, some people feel like. But Paul didn't see it that way. Paul saw it, no, I'm the debtor. God's done something for me, and it was real. And I don't want to live without other men and women and boys and girls knowing what I've experienced in the mighty power of God Almighty. I want everybody to experience what God has done in my life, Paul said. Amen. Amen. How about you?
Yeah. Amen.
Has God done something so real, so deep in your life, so life-altering, so life-changing in your life that you want everyone to experience it? I can stand before God and you today and say, God's done that in my life. I haven't always been what I should be, and I haven't shared the gospel with many that I've come in contact with, but by the grace of God, I try to share the gospel with those that God puts in the pathway of my life. And I believe many of you do. Brethren, this is what fired Paul up. He realized he was a debtor. He said, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks and the barbarians. Can I tell you, whether they're neighbors, your neighbors, or whether they're not, whether you like the way they live in or whether you don't, whether you agree with them or whether you don't, whether they're a Republican or Democrat or independent or liberal or conservative, Paul said, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. I want people to experience the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. How about you? See, that's what this is about. Preacher, why do we set aside a time every year and bring in missionary families that have given their life to the cause of Christ and the kingdom of God to go around the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because we believe in debtors. We're debtors. We're debtors not just to Madison County, not just to Orange and Green and Culpeper and Rappahannock and the surrounding areas. Brethren, we're debtors to the world, Greeks and the barbarians. We're debtors.
Amen.
See, God's done something for us. God done something for you?
Amen.
We're debtors. Don't you want other people to experience what you've experienced in the liberating power of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
I tell you, brethren, God has been so good to us. We have been set free.
Yeah.
Set free. We're free.
Right.
We're living in a world that's in bondage. Look around you and look at the bondage and the misguided minds of our youth and the way that people are approaching life. And if that doesn't help you to see, oh God, give me a passion. Let me see how indebted I am to get them this life-changing gospel.
Amen.
It's the only thing that's going to happen. Say, preacher, if we could just get them signed up to vote. Now listen, since I've said that, if you're not signed up to vote, you need to get Brother Dan and get signed up to vote. You ought to do your civic duty. Amen. It's your civic duty to vote. Well, my vote won't change anything. Listen, I want you to search the history on how one vote changed an election. There's many occasions when one vote. But even if your vote didn't change it, and it does, so don't let anyone tell you it doesn't, you still have a civic duty. Duty. As a Christian, to vote your conscience. Paul said, I'm a debtor. It's going to take more than getting them to switch parties, getting the right people in the White House. I'm for that. That's our civic duty. I'm for it. The Bible is very clear on our landmarks and when the righteous rule. The Bible's very clear how that benefits you and I as believers. Very clear. But brethren, we have a message that changes more than just who people vote for. Paul said, I'm debtor. Look at it. I'm debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul said, it doesn't matter if they're educated and uneducated, whether they're cultured and refined or just old country boys and girls. He said, I'm a debtor. I want to get the gospel to as many people as I can get the gospel to.
Amen.
You know why? Because the gospel can reach the highest high and the lowest low.
Amen.
From the guttermost to the uttermost, the gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives.
Right.
We're debtors. God done something for you? Has He?
Amen.
Is it worth sharing?
Yeah.
Amen.
Is it, church?
Amen.
It's worth sharing.
Amen.
then let's share it. You know, I'm going to tell you, if I'm on the back side of this, and I have been, all of us have been, we've been on the wrong side of this thing. Right? We've been on the other side. How many people came to you before you were saved? Kind of makes you wonder. If what these folks called Christians have is so great, why aren't they approaching me? Why aren't they coming after me? Why aren't they knocking on my door? Why aren't they stopping me in the supermarket? Why aren't they approaching me in the break room? If what you have is so great, I guarantee you, if you had some oceanfront property and the people next to you was giving it away for a dollar, you'd be telling folks about it. We've got better than oceanfront property. You see? Motivate. What motivates us? Well, what motivated Paul is he realized that he was a debtor. He's indebted. Jesus had done something in his life. I was telling our Sunday school class this morning, I just got all emotional sitting at my desk this morning. I was sitting there reading about the Apostle Paul, and he was telling the church of Philippi, I love you. He was saying, I love you. He said, oh, you're my dearly beloved, my longed for. He loved those people. Paul loved people. He did. He just loved people. I thought about how that when he got saved on the road to Damascus, and how God had sent Ananias to him. And I was reading it this morning, sitting at my desk, and it just, I don't know, God just broke my heart. How that Ananias went to him, and the Bible says he put his hand on his shoulder and said, Brother Saul, could you imagine what was running through Saul's heart? Saul may have killed some of his family. I mean, we're talking about a man who hauled people into prison, who killed people. Listen, he had Christians killed. This man was he was injurious. He was a blasphemer. This man was a murderer. He had people put to death for their faith. Then here's a Christian tapping him on the shoulder and saying, God's going to take care of this, Brother Saul. Brother Saul. Amen. I bet he thought, whoo, man, these people are forgiven. Man, they're calling me Brother Saul. Hadn't been saved hardly any time. And he's accepting me. Paul said, I'm a debtor. You're a debtor too. I'm a debtor. Now, whether you realize it or not. See, Paul, he realized he was a debtor. So that's what motivated him. Paul said, I'm obligated here. This is an obligation I have. Can I tell you, you're going to meet some people tomorrow that you're obligated to tell that God loves them and that Jesus died for them? Do you feel the responsibility of that obligation? I hope that you do. You say, well, I'm not going to tell them, preacher. What if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? God left us here to tell them, brethren. Didn't he, folks? God left us here to tell them. On your way out, why don't you get you a pocket full of tracts and just purpose in your heart, God, as you open doors of opportunity tomorrow, with your help now, Lord, I'm going to remember that I'm a debtor, and I'm going to share your good news with somebody tomorrow. Would you do that? You say, I want to make a difference in the world, preacher. Well, there you go. Be a difference maker. Make the difference in someone's life tomorrow. I sure am glad that God sent someone to make a difference in my life. Amen. I sure am thankful. Yeah. I'm glad they took the time to stop by my place and introduce me to my Savior. Amen. And I want to be a part of introducing others to this wonderful Savior. And I believe you do too. I do. So number one, Paul said, I am debtor. He realized that he was a debtor. And I pray that you and I would as well. Look at the second thing in verse 15. He said, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. Paul said, I'm indebted in this thing about the gospel. Here it is, the second I am. He said, I'm ready. I'm a debtor. I'm debtor, and I'm ready. I like that word ready. Within that word, I want you to listen carefully to me now. Within that word, now you search it out. Get your concordance out and search it out. See, the Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. You just read by that and you'll think, you know, getting ready is getting ready. I want you to think about some of the most exciting things in your life that you've gotten ready for. Think about it. Mama, having that first child. Or second one, or third one. Think about it, getting ready to walk the aisle. Think about it. Think about things that you prepared, that you were ready for. You look at this word ready, and you'll see when you trace it back that it comes from a word that we get heat or thermostat. Now listen carefully. Or thermometer. In other words, Paul said, I am fired up. Listen to me now. He said, I'm coming to Rome. And he said, they're not going to stop me. I'm fired up. I'm going to get some fruit in Rome. Amen? Why? He said, because I want you to experience what I experienced when I met him on the road to Damascus. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! Paul said, what I got was real. And he said, I want you to experience it. I'm fired up. I'm ready. You want to make a difference in someone's life, you let them look into your eyes and see you're ready. When people see you're ready, that you've got something worth sharing, they'll listen. They'll listen. When you realize you're a debtor, it'll break your heart. And when you realize who you're representing, it'll fire you up. And you put those two ingredients together, and there are going to be souls saved. We've lost our passion. I can't sing either, Brother David. But I tell you what, I guarantee the people right up here on this front row, every one of them could testify at some point, you've heard the preacher up here singing. Because I let her rip, brother. Why, preacher? You think you can sing? Well, you know better than that. And I hope you know that I know better than that. But I just love to sing for Jesus. When Jesus saved me, he just put a song in my heart, and I've been singing to him ever since. I go around the house singing. That's right. I absolutely put my wife and mother-in-law, listen, they probably hear me. I'm in my room, and I've got music played, and I'm singing, I'm whistling, I'm humming. You say, preacher, what's all that about? I'm ready. God's done something in my heart. I'm fired up. Listen, you don't have to turn cartwheels. But what you do, they ought to be passionate about what you do. I'm not going to just stand up here, when we all get to heaven. I don't want to go where you're going. What heaven are you going to? I don't want to go to that one.
Right.
I don't want to go to that one.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
That's not the heaven I want to go to.
Right.
I want to go where people are fired up. Amen?
Amen.
Where people are excited. 100%. All in.
Amen.
All in, I said.
Amen.
Not just halfway.
Yeah.
I teach Sunday school. I'm going to be all in.
Right. Amen.
I'm preaching. I'm all in. Soul winning, all in. Bus ministry, all in. This is for God, brother. If I can get all in for a football team, if I can get all in for something man does, I can get all in for something community does. Hey, you know we can get all in for what God's doing.
Amen.
All in. Paul said, I want you to know I'm coming to Rome. You better buckle up because I'm ready. I'm all in. And brother, I'm going to tell you right now, he made a difference too.
Amen. Amen.
So you've got to get all in.
Yeah. Right.
You all in. Oh, preacher, now just calm down. They've been telling me that. They've been telling me that from day one. And sometimes I listen to them. God, have mercy on me. Shame on me. I don't want to calm down. I want to stay ready. Fired up. Heated up. Souls are at stake. Could be someone that you love, that God puts in the pathway of this preacher's life and I get to share the gospel with them, they get saved. Could be somebody that I love that God puts in the pathway of your life and you tell them the gospel and they get saved. Stay ready. Stay ready. Stay fired up. Be passionate 100% in this thing on telling people about Jesus. When you look at people, don't just look at them. Listen, don't look at the outward appearance. Don't look what they're driving, what they're wearing. Don't look at their demeanor. You remember behind all of that, there's a soul. A soul that needs to be reborn, that needs to be regenerated. Paul said, I'm ready. Look what he said here in verse 15. So as much, I like this, as much as in me is.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, that's good words. David put it this way in Psalm 103, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, he said in Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. David said, I want to be all in when it comes to worshiping my God. Paul said, I want to be all in when it comes to representing my God. As much as in me is. I'm ready, he said.
Amen.
Stay ready now.
Because
I'm going to tell you, God's going to put somebody in the pathway of your life.
Yeah.
Listen, he will. He will. You know he will. He already has. If you've been saved any length of time, you can go back and you can say, God just opened up a tremendous door of opportunity right there. You know it. You know when God gets on you, when God opens a door and God gets on you to share the gospel, you know it. You'll walk away from that just absolutely with an exuberance in your soul thinking, thank you, Lord. God, you put words in my mouth. You navigated me through that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, God, use it for your glory. So Paul said, number one, he said there's an obligation. But then he said there's a passion. See, the obligation is I'm debtor. But the passion, he said, I'm ready. You know, it'd be terrible to have the obligation without the passion. They go together, right? They do. They go together. Stay ready. Why? Because God's not going to put an obligation, a responsibility on us that he's not going to give us an opportunity to carry out. So God is going to put people in the pathway of our lives. Please, I implore you now, on the way out, get you some gospel tracts. Stock up a little bit. And as God opens doors of opportunity, pass them out. Now, sometimes he'll give you an opportunity just to lay out the entire gospel plan and walk them through it. Sometimes you'll have just a split second. Just a split second. You have to use discernment now. You'll just have just a split second. Say, listen, I want to give you something. I'd like for you to read it in the privacy of your time. Sometime when you get alone, read this. It'll tell you how to get to heaven. You have to know. You have to know. You see, sometimes you don't have 5 minutes. You may have literally 10 seconds. But if God crossed the path, he wanted you to give them something because God knew that because of the condition they were in, they would not stand there in public and listen to you. But they'll take that and they'll get somewhere in the privacy of their life and they'll read that and God will use it to break them down. All right? Be ready. Be ready. So he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. I like this also. Amen. Paul said, I'm not just ready for Rome. Paul said, I stay ready. God, you send me anywhere you want to send me. Well, we're going to send you to Damascus. And he did. You know what happened? Paul got to, he was ready. He got to give them the gospel. They had to let him down out of a window in a basket. You think that slowed him down? Mm-mm. He went to Lystra. They stoned him, drug him outside the city for dead. You said, well, surely he quit after that, didn't he, preacher? Mm-mm. Went to Philippi. Yeah. They stripped him down, beat him, and threw him in jail. God sent an earthquake. The Philippian jailer came and fell and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, Paul was singing, him and Silas singing and praising God. Yeah. Philippian jailer got saved. They went to his house. His whole house got saved. Hey, why? Paul realized how deep the debt was. He said, I'm in debt. You're in debt. I'm in debt. Brethren, if we don't tell them, who's going to tell them? These people are going to hell, brother. I mean, it's real. Hell's real. Just because men quit preaching on it, that doesn't mean it's going away. Hell's real. People are going there. And when they do, they don't get out. So please, I still believe in hell, and I believe you do too. I still believe that people who do not receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior are going to die in their sin and go there. And I don't want to see people go to hell. And I don't think you do either. Somebody's got to tell these folks. You say, well, preacher, a bunch of arrogant people out there. A bunch of people running around tearing up people's property. A bunch of people denying God, burning Bibles. And well, you know what? They need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear the message that we have. What did you do before someone told you the message? You say, well, it wasn't that bad. Well, God can save good people too.
Amen.
Yeah. Matter of fact, we're talking about a good one that he saved. This man was so good, he was wicked. You've met him that way, haven't you? You've met Baptists that way, haven't you? So good, they're wicked. Pharisees. That was this man. So good, he thought he was doing the right thing by killing people, throwing them into jail and breaking up families. But he did it all in the name of God. Good man. But God can take care of goodness too. God can turn goodness into godliness. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Let me give you one final thing, okay? Listen, I'm just trying to impress on your minds, brethren. Missions revival is a wonderful thing. I love it. We're going to hear great preaching. We're going to meet great families. These families are special now. God's put his hand on families, and he calls them to go to places, and they leave their families. They leave the American lifestyle, and they go, and they just, they're all in for the kingdom of God. But you know what? We can be all in and stay right here. You don't get all in just because you're going across the seas. You ought to be all in, go across the street. Amen. Yeah. As a matter of fact, it starts right here. It does. And so I'm just trying to get us to see, and it's us, we're in this together, we're family. And I want us to realize that we have a great responsibility. But with a great responsibility, God has given us a great opportunity. These days in which we live, people are searching. They're searching. They're looking for answers. We have the answer. We have the answer. The life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. It has changed my life. I'm just excited about that. I'm excited. How about you? Amen. I've got something worth telling somebody. What I've got's not broken. I was when it found me. But what I received from Jesus, the life-changing power, it's not broken. It doesn't even have any kinks in it. You listening? The gospel. The gospel. That's what we're going to talk about next. Look, if you would, in verse number 16. For I am. There it is again. The third I am. This I am is about the power of God. It's an affirmation. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm just going to ask you straight out. Are you? Oh, well, preacher, I can't believe you would ask. We're in church, aren't we? The question was not, are you in church? Are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Pride and being ashamed of the gospel will keep us from presenting it sometimes. The old devil wants us to be ashamed of this. You know why? He'll say, oh, you know, that the gospel's not for intellectual people. Well, I beg your pardon, it is too. Right. Well, the gospel's not for this kind of people or that kind of people. The gospel, notice the latter part of verse number 16, it's to everyone that believeth. The gospel's for everyone. You don't have to feel like you have to drop your intellect or your social status or anything in life to present the gospel. The gospel's the most glorious thing in all of heaven and earth, brethren. You listen, I don't mean go around now with the wrong kind of pride, but you can hold your head up when you present the gospel. You're giving people the good news that has changed many hundreds of thousands of millions of lives and is going to change more. This is God's plan. This is not man's plan. Notice again in verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is not the gospel of the church. This is not the gospel of some religious sect or some man-made institution. This is the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ, look at what he said, is the power of God unto salvation. What a power. That word power is dunamis. Brother, I mean, it's powerful. How powerful is the gospel, preacher? Well, did you groom yourself before you came to church tonight? That's how powerful it is. Changed your life. Changed my life. The gospel of Jesus Christ, can dry up drunks. You listening? I can't tell you the number of drunkards that the gospel has sobered up. The number of addicts that it's cleaned up. The number of immoral people. That it's made pure, right? The number of liars that it's made honest, crooks that it's made responsible, the number of good men that it's made better men, the number of men who were thugs and wouldn't work, it's made them responsible and hardworking men. The gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. You don't have to hold your head and say, well, you know, I hope this will work on old Billy down at the plant. If Billy receives the gospel, the power of God's going to change his life. Amen. You don't know Billy, preacher. Don't need to know Billy. I know the gospel. Amen. Amen. I'm here to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ can change a life, any life. Where is that belief anymore? Where is that belief? You say, well, preacher, this is a hard situation. Might be to you. Might be to me. But it's not to God. Amen. God can change people's lives. You believe that, brethren?
Amen.
Give me a good hearty amen.
Amen.
Listen, you leave here with a confidence in your heart that if I'll give the gospel of Jesus Christ, God will use that as I sow the seed. Be seed sowers this week, would you? Sow some seeds out there. Sow some seeds. Make a difference in someone's life. Just talking to a brother this morning, Brother Brian and I were talking about a situation, and we were talking about how that, well, you know, sometimes when people hear the gospel, they don't always respond right away. And I said, well, that's all right. Seed's been sown. I want to just say this quickly, and you've heard some of my testimony. The seed was sown in my heart on a Friday night by a 5-year-old girl, and I want you to listen carefully. That girl had no idea. She didn't. Now, God knew what he was doing with that little girl. And I'm not getting into great detail here, but no doubt there were people who thought, that was nothing. Nothing's going to become of that. This man's right back into what he's doing. They had no idea. I didn't sleep until I got saved. Friday evening, the seed was sown. You know when I went to sleep? Sunday night, October the 26th, after I got saved, I went to sleep. Couldn't sleep. You know why? Seed was sown. The seed was sown. You say, well, I'm not a powerful witness preacher. I just can't do it like some of these great soul winners. Did you hear what I said? A 5-year-old girl drew me a picture. 3 crosses, stick man. She said, the man in the middle here died for you.
Amen.
Died for you. I looked at her dad and I said, you need to get her. Well, what's all this about? He said, him and his wife were separated. I knew him from years on back. Him and his wife, he said, her mom sent her up here to this old Christian daycare or something. You know the name of the Christian daycare? Tabernacle. That just so happened to be where I went to Bible college when God saved me. Don't you tell me that God hasn't got plans, brethren.
Amen. Amen.
Plans.
Yeah.
Laid out. Sovereign. Providential. We just have to go with God's plan. We just have to be ready. You ready? Paul said, I'm ready. There's some people out there waiting on you. There's some people out there waiting on me. They need us to be ready to give them the gospel. They don't even realize that they need you. The world thinks Christians are the problem, don't they? That's why they burn a big stack of Bibles. They think we're the problem.
Right.
Man, we just get rid of these Christians, we'd be better off. Oh, they just don't know.
Yeah.
You don't want to take salt and light now. That's two very, very necessary commodities. The salt of the world and the light of the world. You don't want to take that out. You take that out, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
One day we're going to leave this old world. We are. And then the world's going to really go into a major downward spiral. Headed that way now, isn't it? It is. But don't get confused that we still don't have a work to do. All right? Let me give you this and I'll be through. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, there's some things. He said, number one, the supremacy of the gospel. Nothing works like the gospel. A lot of social programs. Listen, I'm not opposed to helps programs. I'm not opposed to those. But when it comes to the ultimate need of man, which is the forgiveness of sin, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only thing that'll do.
Amen.
It's supreme. The supremacy of the gospel. Second of all, the sufficiency of the gospel. Every person, now listen to me carefully. This is going to include multi-millions of people. Every person that has trusted the gospel of Jesus Christ is saved and either in heaven or on their way there. That's sufficient. Amen?
Amen?
That's efficient. Every person. The gospel has never failed. That's what I'm trying to say. It's never failed. And then finally, the simplicity of the gospel. Did you notice it? To everyone that believeth. Believeth. I think sometimes as we talk to people, if we're not careful, we'll complicate the process. Now, I'm not talking about this ABC, repeat after me or pray after me. You believe John 3:16, you're saved. That's not what I'm talking about. there must be a sorrow and a godly sorrow and repentance of sin. And the Spirit of God has to reach out and draw a person to Christ to be saved. But if you'll give the gospel, that's what the gospel does. It draws people. It convicts people, doesn't it? It convicts.
Amen.
It draws. It converts. It changes lives. We have this gospel. It's been left into our care. We are ambassadors of Christ. And we have been left the word of reconciliation that will reconcile fallen man to a holy God. God help me. And God help you. God help us to make a difference in some people's lives. We've made a difference. Let's continue to do that. Let's stand to our feet. The gospel. I am, Paul said, I am debtor. Who are you debtor to? Well, there's two great commandments in the Bible. Jesus said, upon these hang all the law and the prophets. But you listen carefully now. And that is that you should love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Right? Two great commandments. And all those, on those hang all the law and the prophets. But there's two great commandments of the gospel. You know what they are? Come. Come. Let him that is athirst come. Come unto me. Listen, if you don't come, you can't get saved. Is that right? That is a command of the gospel. You have to come. You have to come. God's done the work. Jesus has paid the price. But now just because the price has been paid, that doesn't mean that you're in on it. You've got to come. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You have to come. But the second one is go. Those are the two great commandments of the gospel. Come, you get saved. Go, you represent as a believer, as an ambassador, the kingdom of God and the word of reconciliation. I pray that you that have come, we that have come, will go. Go into all the world through our praying, through our giving, through our witnessing. God, give me a mind. God, give me a heart for people I'll never see in this life. But that my praying and giving and my involvement in this thing called missionary endeavor, evangelism around the world, one day when I stand on yonder shore, I'll meet people that I never got to see here. I'll get to see folks that got saved through what we're doing right here in this upcoming week. And we continue to do by the grace of God. Would you make a difference in someone's life? God help us all to do that. Let's bow our heads together. The pianist is going to play.